Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You should know that passage. That passage, in my opinion, is one that as Christians, we need to memorize. There's just so much in there. I just read from Ephesians chapter 1. It says, God chose us before the creation of the world to basically be adopted as his children. Now, this world has been around a long time. A very, very long time. And the Bible says here that he chose you and I, even before that happened, to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of this family. Are you listening to me? He says here that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Say lavished. I didn't hear you. You can't say lavished by just, you know, opening your mouth. You got to say with your whole mouth, lavished. You can't even say the word without your whole mouth being involved. That's how much God has given to us. Are you listening to me? Lavished. There isn't a single person in here who doesn't like people to lavish stuff on them. Christmas is coming up in a few weeks. All of our kids, I can promise you, they want us to lavish gifts on them. It's going to cost you. It always does. Okay? Now, as adults, because we're grown, and we're adults, there's not enough good stuff lavished on us. Why? For several reasons. Number one, we're grown-ups. Okay? Some of us, we've lost our parents, and some of them are still alive. Even if they're still alive, yeah, if you're lucky, they send you one gift. Okay? They did all the lavishing when you were growing up. But the Bible says that God has lavished his blessings upon us. Not just at a particular time. Throughout. And it says here that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. I mean, Joseph just finished doing communion for us, talking about going to heaven. How did we arrive at that? It's through God revealing his mystery to us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the mystery of Christ. The whole world right now is celebrating the birth of Christ. And that's exciting. But again, Jesus didn't come into this world so that once a year we'll all mention his name, or we give gifts to our children, or decorate our homes and stuff like that. That's not it. Jesus came here to give us redemption. Amen? So that one day we have this incredible opportunity to spend eternity with God.
That's what life is all about. That's what should keep us going every day. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If that doesn't fire you up, you got problems. You got issues. Big issues. Because this is not it. This is not the end. Are you with me? Yes, it's a mystery. But God has revealed it to us. Now notice, it doesn't say He's revealed everything to us. As a matter of fact, with each passing day, with each passing week, we learn new things. Amen? You know, a lot of times in life, things happen and we wonder why. We want answers. We start asking questions. Because quite frankly, we want all of our questions answered. I don't know about you. There comes a time when kids are growing up. Shortly after they discover they can really talk and they can really communicate and they start understanding concepts, it's different for each kid. But there comes a time where they start asking a lot of questions. Hey, Dad! Boom! And you answer it. 2 minutes later, Dad, they ask another question. And then a few minutes later, they ask another question. And in their minds, you got all the answers. Okay, believe me, that's why they're asking. Now, as they grow older, they realize, you know, we don't have all the answers. Now, we have a lot more answers than they do. That's the truth. Okay, we got something called experience, which they don't have. Okay, I love the youth, but they got no experience. They haven't learned anything yet through life. That's where you and I come in. But they start asking a lot of questions. And it's amazing. It may go on for like a week or two, again, depending on your kid, and all of a sudden it stops. But every single person in here went through that. Well, you start asking a lot of questions. Where they literally wore you out. They're like, man, you know, I gotta go hide in a room. I gotta go, you know. Like, they're asking too many questions. But you see, as humans and as grown-ups, we have a lot of questions we have of God that we ask. It's like, God, why did this happen? Father, I don't understand this. And the truth of the matter is, yes, the Bible has all the answers, but there are some things God has not revealed to us. There are some things in His wisdom He has chosen not to tell us. And we got to be okay with that. Okay? Yes, we go to the Bible for our answers, but God doesn't tell us everything. There are many things that God has decided at this point not to reveal to us. I mean, even think about the day Christ was born. We don't know. It's not December 25th, in case you didn't know. That's just the day many years ago when people got together, okay, we're going to celebrate it on this day. You and I are going to be shocked when we get to the other side. And say, anyway, Jesus, what day were you born? And he says, oh, I was born on the 27th of July. He's going to surprise some of you. I just made that up. I don't know. We don't know that. Does that make sense? The Bible doesn't tell us a lot of things. But you see, a lot of times we want answers when we're experiencing troubles and when we're experiencing hard times. Look in Job chapter 11. Let's begin with a man that went through so much that you read about him and you look at his life and you go, how can one person take this? Yes, we have challenges, we have sufferings in this life, but it cannot be compared, even this morning, not even to a quarter of what Job went through in his life. Here was a man, righteous man, serving God. And a very short period of time, God allowed the devil to take away everything that he had, including his children. It's one thing to lose your wealth. It's one thing to lose your house. It's one thing to lose your possessions. It's something else to lose one of your children, let alone all of them. You know, there's a man that's been in the news this week. Actually, it's been in the news several weeks now,
where some two robbers came in and basically killed his wife and his two daughters. And I was being interviewed this week. He's like, how do you even go on? I can't imagine what that must feel like. Where your whole family is just gone. And I don't know how you feel when you see people like that. Our hearts ought to go out to them. We ought to pray for them. For God to comfort them. For God to give them peace. For God to use that whole situation to draw that person closer to Him. That's what I always pray. You see, every time we think that our situation is unique and we don't quite understand it, all you need to do is turn on the news. And when you see what other people are going through, it will cause you to get on your knees and give thanks for all the things that are going on right in your life. Amen? We're talking about the mystery of Christ. In Job chapter 11, in verse 1, then Zophar, the Namathite, replied. This is one of the three guys that went to Job. One of his three friends. He says, are all these words to go unanswered? Is this talker to be vindicated? Will your idle talk reduce men to silence? Will no one rebuke you when you mock? You say to God, my beliefs are flawless, and I am pure in your sight. Oh, how I wish that God would speak, that he would open his lips against you and disclose to you the secrets of wisdom. For true wisdom has two sides. Know this, God has even forgotten some of your sin. Verse 7, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. You see, these guys thought, you know what, the reason why Job is going through all this stuff is he must be in sin. There's stuff that is gone. And they basically come, and they're supposed to be trying to comfort him. And they say, wait a second, what kind of garbage are you saying? Let me tell you something. God knows what's going on. This stuff is happening for a reason. As a matter of fact, can anybody fathom God's mysteries? It's not possible. There's so many things that you and I will never know and understand until we get to the other side. I'm not even sure that when we get to the other side, God is going to tell us everything. Are you with me? There's so many things we question on this side of eternity. But you see, we're being asked here, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Are we able to probe the limits of the Almighty? You see, our finite brains cannot totally understand everything that's going on. It's not possible. I mean, think about it. The whole concept of God is mind-boggling. You and I cannot totally understand it. I don't understand someone that can be at every place at the same time. I don't understand the concept of someone that's always been. Someone that had no teacher. Someone that just speaks and things start happening. I don't understand it. Do you? It's a mystery. I mean, think about the human body. I mean, how God designed this thing. It's an amazing thing. He put the eyes up front. Can you imagine if the eyes were on the back? I mean, you and I have been walking around like this. Hello. That would look weird. See where the arms are. Can you imagine if they were over here, below your knee? They'll be dragging the ground. I mean, you and I will be, we'll be like this. I mean, it's an amazing thing. The way he put this whole thing together. It's a mystery. All you need to do is look at a human being and go, you know what? There is a God. There must be a God. Because no human is this smart to put this together. And yet you see people day in and day out say, oh, there's no God. We got to say happy holidays because I don't believe in Jesus.
I promise you, there's not going to be any atheists on the other side. Have you ever thought of that? There will be no atheists on the other side. Everyone's going to be a believer. Because the moment you leave this place, bam! And you land in Hades. Obviously, they're all non-Christians. They don't believe in God. They're going to say, uh-oh. Ooh, baby. I am in really big trouble. Is it possible? Can I go back? Oh, no. Sorry. You had your chance. Life is a mystery. God is a mystery. He doesn't give us all the answers. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Now, we all know this passage. The children of Israel are in exile in Babylon. And God decides on his own to reveal some stuff that's about to happen in their future. You know the story? The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. All right? Dreams are funny. They're really funny. I don't know where they come from. Church, last night I dreamt I was going to prison for a year. I don't even know what I did. I don't know what offense I committed, but they were going to lock me up for 1 year. And it was like, it's no big deal. And then I'm sitting there, somebody's talking to me about what you're going to do once they take you in and they slam the doors. That's what it dawned on me. So wait a second. I'm going to jail. What am I going to do once I get in there? And then I woke up. I said, thank you, Lord. Man. I don't even remember. Like I said, I don't even remember what I did to cause that to happen. But anyway, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that troubled him. And he called all the magicians, all the astrologers, says, you know what? I want you to tell me my dream, and I want you to interpret the dream. Now, what I just dreamt last night, you wouldn't have known unless I told you. If I asked you for guesses, you wouldn't have guessed that. And I don't know about you, I'm glad my dreams don't come true. Okay? You know, talking about going to jail, I'm digressing, but I'm going to say this. Obviously, if we're going to commit a crime, you violate the laws, some laws of the land, they're going to lock you up. Period. But I also want us to be very aware. There are things that happen that are accidents that you can get locked up for. You can leave your house and on any day of the week, just going to work. And you lose control of the car. You get into an accident. You go kill somebody. You can get locked up for that. Vehicular homicide. They would lock you up. So don't think, oh yeah, man, I'm never going to jail. Be praying that God will guide you and keep you safe. Okay? That can happen. Okay? You don't set out to go commit a crime. You don't set out to go get into an accident, but it does happen. There are people in jail as we speak for that very reason. And when that happens, it's very tragic. It's very tough. So, I mean, again, I just put that out there just for us to be very careful. Amen? I know I digressed, but that's okay. You remember that commercial? It's amazing. I don't know how this happens. I don't even remember what they were selling. But there was this guy. He's supposed to be, you know, they take him to some meeting. And he gets up and he goes... He says something and goes, I digress. It wasn't meant to be taken. I think it's FedEx. Was it UPS? I can't remember. There was a commercial from several months ago. It was very funny. That's what catches my attention. Again, I'm digressing. But that's okay. Now, where was I? Daniel chapter 2. Yeah, that's it. So he has this dream. And obviously, nobody's able to tell him the dream. So he says, you know what? I'm going to put all of you to death. And so God does something very interesting. In Daniel chapter 2, in verse 27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven. I like that. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and your visions that pass through your mind as you lay in your bed are these. And then he's going to start telling him what he dreamt. The operative word right there in that sentence is, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Amen? It is God who reveals things. And from time to time, he decides to do that. In this particular instance, he decided to tell Daniel what the king had dreamt about. And the king had dreamt about the future, about the kingdoms that were going to be coming. And he tells him about, by the way, you know, you saw this statue. As a matter of fact, you are the head of gold. And then after that, again, from history, we know the Persians defeated the Babylonians. Then after the Persians were the Greeks. After the Greeks came the Romans. And finally, God said, in the time of those kings, that is during the Roman Empire, I will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So it wasn't an accident, church, that Jesus was born. Not when Alexander the Great was on the throne, but when the Romans were ruling. But you see, God revealed that in Daniel chapter 2. Amen? You and I today, you know, many more years into the future, we read it and go, wow! These guys were in captivity. They were suffering. And God is basically saying, you know what, guys, don't worry. Babylon is going to bite the dust. As a matter of fact, all these kingdoms that's going to come after them, they're also going to bite the dust. Just hang in there. I'm going to set up a kingdom. Forever, for eternity. That's what you and I are part of. Amen? And that's what should excite us on a daily basis. That's what should keep us going on a daily basis. That this kingdom will never end. Amen? And at the end here, it says, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. Incredible. Can you imagine the comfort he must have given Daniel to find this out? For the Israelites to find out that, you know what, this is not it. Amen? You see, God reveals mysteries. Mystery in the Greek, the word is mysterion. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. The definition is outside the range of unassisted natural understanding. It can be made known only by divine revelation. And is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God. And to those only who God wants to see it by His Spirit. Have you ever wondered why people read the same Bible and they don't understand why you are so excited? People read this and go, you know what? It's not working for me. How is it working for you? It's a mystery that God has revealed to us. Amen? Now, the exciting thing is, you know, I mean, think about it. When you were born, the family that raised you, where you were raised, whatever part of the world, and at a certain time, some strangers looked at you and started talking to you about God and invited you to some church, and you started to go, you started looking at the Word, you started studying it out. You see, God's Spirit was working that whole time. Do you understand that? To bring you to that point. And then finally, you made the decision, you repented, you decided to make Jesus Lord, you were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then that same Spirit that has been walking you and guiding you up to that point starts living inside of you. You see, the Holy Spirit has always been at work in my life and in your life. It's not just, now when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit just jumps in. It doesn't work that way. And again, it's not a feeling. I remember a few weeks ago when one of the young men were baptized from campus, they were asking, so how's that, what's that going to feel like? You're not going to feel anything. It's by faith that the Holy Spirit is not dwelling inside of you. If you go into the water bald, guess what? When you come out, you're going to still be bald. I'm sorry. If you go into the water, you're 5'11". When you come up, you're still going to be 5'11". Because it's not physical, it's spiritual. Amen?
Amen?
Now when you come out, you're going to know and be convinced that, you know what? All my sins that I've ever committed, they're gone. And God, through His promise and His word, we know that even our present sins and our future sins are also forgiven.
Amen.
That's the exciting part.
Amen.
But it's still a mystery nonetheless. It really is. I mean, think about it. When you were met, you were not in Timbuktu. Whatever city where you were when you were converted, God placed you there for a reason. You may think, oh yeah, I went over there to find a job. No, you didn't. God took you there so you could become a Christian. Oh, I just decided to go to this school. No, uh-uh. God took you there so you could become a Christian. You know, several months ago, I believe, I don't know the whole story, there's a couple, you know, actually about 2 years ago now, there used to be three churches that had services in this on this campus. We were in here, and there was another church in the Commons area, and there was another smaller church. Actually, they were the first ones here when we got here 4 years ago. They were somewhere up front. And, you know, this couple came. They were actually heading to the church in that met at the Commons area. And I don't know how they ended up in here. And they decided to come in. And they came in. They loved it. You know, they loved what they heard. And they've been coming ever since. And Marie has been studying the Bible, you know, for several months now. And this afternoon, I'm very happy to announce that she's going to be baptized in Christ. Marie Andre, can I have you stand up? But you see, I don't believe that's accident. That's a mystery. Again, I use her as an example because that's what God decided to do in her case. Amen? But you see, there are many things that God does like that. That we don't know. I mean, again, this week, I saw this in the newspaper. I thought it was very interesting. That in a few weeks, we're going to see billboards around the Atlanta area talking about Jesus is going to come back on May 21, 2011. I mean, I read that. I thought, uh-oh, okay, I got to read this. And so here it is. It says, save the date. Save the date. Okay, save the date. Jesus is coming on, I'm not making this up, this is a newspaper. Jesus is coming on May 21, 2011. At least that's according to organizers of a billboard campaign slated to hit Metro Atlanta next week. Allison Warden of Raleigh, North Carolina-based WeCanKnow.com said the Christian website plans to place 50 billboards in the metro area proclaiming the rapture and Jesus' imminent return based on analysis of scripture and biblical genealogy. Watch this. The Bible teaches that Christ is returning on May 21, and we want to encourage people to go to scripture and investigate for themselves, said Warden, who insists the Christmas time campaign is not a gimmick. All the information in the Bible points to this date, he writes. God is going to be saving people right up until the last moment. The campaign has raised some eyebrows locally, even before the first billboard is up. One preacher said, I don't think it helps to define the date and put it out there. It conflicts with the very scripture you're encouraging people to read. You see, the Bible is very clear. Matthew 24. It says, nobody knows the day or the hour. These jokers said they figured it out. Okay? You know what? I don't believe Jesus came back May 21. Of next year. And if I knew where any of these guys are, all I will ask is this. Just sign me all the money in your bank account. Just sign over to me. Please. Because I know I'm going to be here. Where you're going, you are not going to need it. So sign it to me right now. That would be the question I would be asking. If a guy like this was living next door to me, driving that Mercedes, I would say, hey, dude, let me have those keys, please. You are not going to need it on the other side. Just give it to me. I'm being serious with you. I mean, the date of Jesus' return is a mystery. And yet, in a few weeks, we're going to start seeing these billboards. It's ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine the amount of money they're going to spend on this thing? Maybe that will pay for our church building and then some. But you see, there are many things God has decided not to reveal to us. And you better believe, some people are going to believe this rubbish. Funny, I don't know, such people don't exist where I live. Because I'm not kidding, I will go knock on their door and I will take all their stuff. And we'll give it to people that can really use it. Many things God has decided to reveal to us. We got to be very careful, amen? I mean, again, as parents, we're getting ready for Christmas. What do with those gifts? We wrap them up, right? We wrap them up and then we give them to the kids for Christmas morning. And one of the greatest things as a parent is to see their faces light up when they open up those gifts, right? Isn't that why we do it? And they open up the stuff. They open up all the, you know, the gifts and, you know, they make it a mess. And we want to see that, we want to see their faces. God is the same way. As He reveals things to us as we go through this life, you can just see His face. That, wow, they finally understand that one. They finally see that concept. She finally gets that. And it happens individually in our lives. What I call when the lights go out. When they go out, it's like, whoa, the lights come on, basically. I'm sorry. It's like, whoa, I finally get it. And it brings a lot of joy to God's heart. But He's not going to tell us everything. Because not everything is meant to be known. Amen? Look in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk about another concept of mysteries. In Hebrews 11, again, we're very familiar with the passage talking about the old men and women of faith. In verse 32, Hebrews 11, it says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put in prison by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. I'm not sure many of us would have made it in the first century as Christians. Oh, let's just be flat honest right here. Especially living in America. Many of us would not have made it. And by that I mean the things that we complain about compared to what our brothers and sisters went through back in the first century. It's nothing. I mean, if you compare their sufferings to ours, nobody's gone to prison in here because they're Christians and they're disciples of Jesus. You haven't been foreclosed on because you go to church every Sunday. You haven't gone through the process of not being able to be hired because you believe in God. That's not it. But you see, it says here that they were looking for a better resurrection. That also is a mystery. Amen? But our faith in God, our faith in God's word, keeps us going. Although we've never seen it, we're convinced of it. Faith is being sure of what we ask for and convinced of what we do not see. And then in verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's all by faith. Amen? I mean, think about it. Why do some people have cancer and some people don't? That's a mystery. Why are some people sick and some people don't and they're not? Why does this person have this job and they're paying them so much money and somebody doesn't have one, not even a job? Why is that? It's a mystery. And I say that, you know, to encourage us that, you know what, we can't be there questioning God. Because we are not God. And he knows what he's doing. One day all this stuff will make sense. I remember many years ago when Christopher Reeve, the guy who used to play Superman, when he had that accident and was paralyzed from the neck down, and his wife, Dana, at some point, shortly after his paralysis, you know, he looked at her and said, you know what? You can go. I will understand if you left. And she refused. She said, no. When we got married, for better for worse meant for better for worse. And she stayed in the relationship. And obviously, Christopher Reeve died. He wrote a biography called Still Me. You should pick it up and read it sometime. Very encouraging. And a few years ago, she died from lung cancer. And she never smoked a cigarette in her life. Even this week, you know, there's another study that just came out. There's so many chemicals in one stick of cigarette that, honestly, you hear stuff like, you know, why do tobacco companies even exist? I don't understand it. I mean, the only product that is sold with a huge warning, basically, you take this, it's going to kill you. But what these guys do is they get you addicted when you're very young. It's all about money. That's all it is. But you see, right now, we're seeing cases of people having lung cancer and they never smoked. I don't know about you. If I'm in that place, I can smell the smoke from a mile away. Maybe it's because I have asthma. And so when I walk into a room, I can tell, uh-oh, somebody's been smoking in here. Something's going on. But see, I bring that up because people have different ailments that you don't have. Sometimes you may go through a demise that others don't experience. All I know is what the Bible teaches. In Romans 8:28, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things. Amen? In all things. And that's what should keep us going. That, yeah, when we don't understand something, when something is a mystery, when we don't totally have all the answers, our faith in God is grounded. Amen? And now forget it. I'm going to wrap this up. When my wife and I got married, we decided we were going to wait a couple of years before we would start trying to have kids. We figured out very quickly, once they start coming, you can't send them back. And so, we need a couple of years where no kids, okay? And that's my advice to young married people. Just have a few years, just you and your husband, you and your wife. Because once they come, sorry, that's it. And my wife got pregnant. And I'll never forget it. In the middle of the night, she woke me up one day. She was 3 months pregnant. There was blood all over the place. Rushed her to the hospital. Lost that child. Very painful. Our attitude was, God, this is hard. We're hurting. Father, comfort us. Lord, heal us. We don't understand this, but your God, we're not going to question you. Because my wife and I's prayer, we wanted 2 kids. God, just give us 2 kids. I didn't want triplets, we didn't want quadruplets, just 2. You said, Richard, you don't like children. Hey, I don't have money to take care of quadruplets. I'm sorry. Maybe you do. I don't. Okay? They're not paying me that much. That's another day, another sermon. We wanted 2 kids that were going to love God and we're going to serve God. And Sarah and I were praying. We said, God, you know the future. You know if this kid was, going to come into this world and decide not to serve you. I don't know that. Maybe you know this kid was going to have some serious physical challenges as a child. That my wife and I cannot handle doing what we do. And I got to be honest with you, that allowed us to accept it. Because God knows what he's doing. I see some of us. We have children that have special needs. I salute you. You're like a hero to me. Because what you go through with that child or those children, I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I don't know how you do it. And all I can do is pray for you, for God to give you the strength to continue what you've done. And I share that because we got to be very careful as we look at other people and look at, oh, I wish I was in this position. I wish I was him. I wish I was her. Oh, no, you don't. I got to be honest with you. This may sound arrogant. I don't wish I was anybody in here. And I hope that you will wish you are not me. Because believe me, I got stuff that I go through that you know nothing about. You wouldn't want that. The stuff that you're going through that I don't want. That I would not desire. God created all of us the way we are for a reason. Are you with me? So that at the end of the day, he gets the glory through everything that's going on in our lives. That's part of the mystery of Christ. And we've got to accept it. That's half the battle right there. Once you accept it. Now you know what? This is my lot in life. This is my cross to bear. This is something I'm going to have to bear for the rest of my life. That's the way he decided it. And then one day, we get a better resurrection. That's what makes all this stuff go down easy. Amen. Now, one day, I'm going to wake up, but not on this side, on the other side. One day, you're going to wake up, not on this side, but on the other side. No more infirmity. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more looking for a job. Praise Jesus. I'm looking forward to a day where I'm not getting up the next. I got to prepare a sermon. That ain't happening no more. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. The mystery of Christ. There's a lot you and I will never understand on this face of eternity. Just accept it. Roll with it, so to speak. And everything is going to be great to the glory of God. God bless you all.